The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tank Man, Logan Paulson, Craig Hoffman, talking Commanders defense with you from the Cowboys game. We talked about the run defense in great detail, which leaves us with the pass defense, which there's some good in this game. There's definitely some yikes in this game. I think people, when they hear pass defense, immediately think of coverage. I think the rush should probably be talked about some as well. There's the penalties, obviously, on BSJ late, one of which was obviously correct, one of which I absolutely despised. So there's a little bit of everything here. But if we think about the pass defense from this game, Logan, like, what's the first most important thing that you think is worth talking about?
There's just so many things to talk about. I think the first,
the thing, right? Is like, much like the run defense, there's a million different things that go wrong that also go right at other points in the game, which in some ways makes it more frustrating probably if you're a coach.
It's interesting. So I'll start with this. I do think it's important to start with like the philosophy of Joe Witt. And I do think, again, we talked about how they've kind of had this coverage emphasis. And I also will say that I feel like they've been a little bit more aggressive playing man coverage the last couple of weeks too. So there's a couple things. So like, for example, on that first explosive play to, there was one to Tolbert, then there was an explosive play to number 9, right? I forget.
To Turpin, yeah.
To Turpin, yeah. Where, again, they're just running like basically like double in or like some version of double in, and it's man coverage, and it's an explosive play to Turpin on a man coverage where it's like, man, I don't like this matchup for us, right? It's Noah on Turpin, who's one of the fastest guys in the NFL. There's the plug player isn't really in the zone, and there's just the middle of the field's wide open. And so that might have been a mental mistake by somebody. But again, that's an explosive play. But then later in the game, they play some man coverage situations, and they do an excellent job of matching and relating, and the rush is able to kind of flush them from the pocket, and you're able to get a positive defensive play. So there's good, there's bad, right? You were talking about earlier how Mike Sander still is kind of playing this off coverage. Sometimes it's straight cover 3. He's going to be off. The green zones in cover 3 are like the hitches, the outs. Quarters, same thing, hitches and outs. They ran a little bit more quarters this week. They hit some more hitches and outs. And so again, like, you're kind of like, is that bad that they're hitting hitches and outs? No, because that's a defensive call. And it also shows to me that Joe Witt Jr., and this is a credit to this defense, is they've done a really good job this year of keeping everything in front of them, right? There's been nothing really like over the top. And I do think that's been a priority for them. And I think in this game, you see why, right? Because it's really hard to drive the length of the field, get in the red zone, and score a touchdown. And ultimately, like, they win the game because they don't give up a like explosive over the top for a touchdown, and they're able to batten down the hatches in the red zone. So there are issues with the coverages, but again, you got to look at what coverages they're calling, when they're calling them, and what is the goal of them calling that coverage. And I think when you kind of do the math, you're like, on the whole, this is pretty good. There are some explosive plays, which we're going to talk about in a second, but you're kind of like, this is kind of who they want to be, much in the same way with the run defense. Like, this is what they want to do. This is an intentional decision. And I think that's what I come out of it. It's like, yeah, does this always feel good? Does this always feel super clean? No. But they're getting what they want out of it for the most part, couple plays we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, does it feel good? Absolutely not. Certainly during. It feels better watching it back on tape, honestly. But during, it definitely does not feel good. And in many ways, you can say the same thing about the offense, which we'll obviously talk about in 15 minutes or whatever it winds up being. They've won 5 straight games. And I feel like we should pull ourselves back for a second and be like, oh, by the way, they have won 5 straight games. So are they getting what they need out of it? Yes. Do we want to see the performance better? Yes. Is that us being obnoxious, unrealistic media snobs? No. Dan also has echoed that sentiment, and Cliff and Joe have echoed that sentiment. So this is not like we're making this up and being hard for the sake of being hard and grading on some absurd curve here. We really are just trying to figure out, like, okay, how can this be more solid when the stakes rise in the playoffs? Because now we're in the playoffs and they're about to go against this Tampa offense that is ridiculously explosive. So if we run through the explosive plays real quick, I'm going to try to flip as quickly as I can through my notes. The first one is the one we just talked about, 10:52 to go in the first quarter. It's like a cover one plug situation. Yeah. The plugger, I don't know where the plugger goes. I think Percy's a little late here too, because Noah falls down and all of a sudden Turpin's running. And I think Percy could probably jump that a little bit faster.
This is the boot, right? This is the boot to the... to the left, or is this the spin? Because there was two in the first quarter that were like kind of gnarly. Like the one where Noah falls down is the boot where they kind of like fake the back, fake it. It's third and six, right? Is that the one you're thinking of there?
No, this one's a first and 10.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's the spin. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, and so, and this is one where like, you know, again, like does Percy do anything quote unquote wrong? No. Does Quan probably have a little faster recognition and maybe is able to, I don't know if he has a huge hit and is able to get there fast enough. Like it's pretty open because Noah trips and falls down and that happens in football, unfortunately. Yeah. But it maybe could have been 25 instead of 33, which would have been nice. But yeah, there's that. The next big explosive play that I have written down is... This is good podcasting, Logan. Just flipping through the notes, trying to find where a big number is. I got the third quarter, the one where... Actually, this is one I wanted to talk about because I think it also illustrates a bigger thing that we see pop up on some almost big plays that don't happen is they run a shallow cross with Jalen Tolbert out of a bunch. Yeah. And Benjamin St. Juice winds up chasing it across the field. And my first inclination is that's great recognition by BSJ. This is not his fault. He's the outside zone defender, and he just realizes that nobody's picking up the shallow, and it's about to get thrown, and he better go chase it. Because on the other side, those dudes are not paying attention at all. They look like they're in man coverage. And so I'm like, wait, that doesn't add up. So between the communication out of the bunch and the kind of the coverage call there of maybe something doesn't get communicated quite right all the way across the board, what do we think happened here, and are there other examples in this game where this also seems to happen?
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. And that's one of the ones that makes me, I don't know, like nervous is the right word. Or it's like we're not in the same way that we're kind of fudging details in the run game, we're kind of fudging details in the pass game. So what that looks to me like it's some type of match, right? And so match is like this nebulous coverage. But basically think like man, but we're like kind of zoning stuff off. So like, for example, if we're in a bunch, like that's the easiest way to describe. So there's three guys in the bunch. There's three defenders, right? Think about like if you're in high school or in Pop Warner and you just man up and all those guys in the bunch just cross, all the defenders run into each other and you're screwed, right? So now we get the bunch and I'm the outside defender. So I say, I'm taking the first thing outside. You're the inside defender, Craig. You take the first thing inside and I take first thing vertical if I'm the third guy, right? So then now we're not running into each other. We've kind of zoned this off. And then once you get into my zone, now we're going to play some type of man. We're going to rally with it, right? So they do, in most bunches, they do match it, right? They kind of, they do play this zone, or this match principle where it's like we're playing man, but we're going to kind of let the bunch.
We're going to let them sort themselves out as opposed to us trying to sort it out.
Correct.
And then we latch on.
Correct. However, in this situation, the bunch is a receiver short motioning, a tight end, and a running back. So the players now involved in this match are now Benjamin St. Juste, Jeremy Chinn, and Bobby Wagner. So usually when those three people are involved, you don't play the match. You just play straight man. Because if you play the match, you end up with Jeremy Chinn running with a receiver, and that's a terrible matchup. And then everyone the next day goes, why is Jeremy Chinn covering a receiver? And then no one knows that it's actually matched, right? So have I seen them in a bunch match it before? Yes. Am I a little bit concerned that Benjamin St. Juice called for a match when he shouldn't because of the other three players involved in the match? I'm also concerned about that. So I think that that's a really good example of knowing that not all bunches are created equal, not all spacings are created equal. And when the defenders are a certain, you know, kind of combination, you can't match it. And that's something that we've seen them do, because we've also seen, like, there's a great example where there was a bunch in New Orleans, same type of thing. It was a receiver, tight end, and running back. And Marshawn Lattimore just knows immediately that he can't match it and just runs with the shallow and makes the tackle. Or he's in great coverage. So that's one where it's like, talking about coverages in the NFL are really hard because everyone treats those a little bit differently. And even this team treats those differently depending on the personnel involved. So it just, to me, I think the bigger iteration here is that it, whatever it was not communicated well between the three people involved. And that to me is the issue, is like the communication, whatever we're doing, we're not all on the same page and it leads to somebody running open for an explosive play.
Right, because I would rather have Bobby or Jeremy running with the receiver versus no one running with the receiver, which is what happened here. And that happened actually down in the red zone as well. There's a corner route where I think it's Brandon Cooks winds up wide open and Lance just overshoots it.
Like literally wide open. Like
like this is I don't think he was under a ton of pressure either. There might have been a little bit, but like he just overshoots it. And it's the same route concept that OZ scores on for the Commanders against the Eagles a couple weeks ago down there in the red zone. And like it's a great concept, but you got to be on top of it. And I think that, you know, that's something that came up earlier in the season. I feel like it's something that came up against Tampa in the first matchup. Yeah. But it was week one, and you're like,
kind of the same concept, too. Very similar concept. It wasn't exactly the same. I think this one was a flat sit and a corner. The other one was like an in and an out and then a corner. But still, the same thing happens, right? You end up with a dude running wide open down the field. And again, they're in kind of a match situation here, at least to my eye, the way they play it. And again, I could be completely wrong. They could be calling something different, but it looks like a match. And I will say that that specific distribution of receivers is really hard on match concepts anyway, because let's say, for example, there's a flat player, right? So I take the first thing to the flat. If I'm BSJ, I now have number two who runs right at me and then sits down. So I feel like it's declared, but actually the corner behind me is now number two and actually in some cases moving to number three. So the thing about match is like once you enter my zone, we're now playing man. However, this is one where it's kind of a late distributing concept.
There's two guys in my zone. I got one of them. Yeah, Someone else please get the other guy.
And if you think about the touchdown OZ had versus Philadelphia, it's exactly this concept because it really screws up match. So like maybe this is just a good offensive call versus match coverage in the red zone. Or it's a miscommunication, or I'm too aggressive to my match responsibilities. So there's a lot of things that could be happening here. But to your point, it's not good to have dudes running wide open down the field. And if it is match, then the player who's matching him is actually Derek Forrest, who to me, in a 3-by-1, should be playing towards the bunch if you're a match defender. Now, is it true match? I have no idea. So that's where it's like, whose responsibility is this actually? But whatever the situation is, we didn't get it communicated effectively and we're not playing it effectively. So I think that when you see those moments, it's like it could be 10 different things, but the underlying issue is that it's not being communicated or executed the way that I'm sure Joe Witt Jr. wants it to be executed.
The one way that we know they got it right is they get it right. Like, yes. It's other than that, like, it's hard to know who messed up because someone has messed up and it could be this thing or that thing or this thing. And frankly, like, there could be a time where they make it right, where they actually mess it up, but they communicate it after the snap and get it figured out and sorted. But, you know, and that technically is correct, even if it's not how you would have drawn it up initially on paper. But I think that's the thing to know is, like, sometimes if we sound really wishy-washy and it's like, whose fault is it? We want a head on a stick. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, the only person, I had a conversation with a defensive coordinator last year, and I was like, hey, you know, this was not for the Commanders, but I was like, hey, like, how do I know the differences between like a match zone, straight match, you know, when you're in a cover, when you're in zone coverage and you're matching the backside, but playing zone to the front side? He's like, honestly, we don't know until, like, if you're watching the film, sometimes I have a hard time knowing until I go talk to the players or I go look at the call sheet and remember what calls were in. And then I'm like, oh, these are the rules for that defense because they all look so similar. And when he said that, I was like, oh, my God. So, like, for me to make a declarative statement about who is wrong without knowing the rules is unfair to the guys. The point is someone was wrong. They didn't get to communicate effectively and they didn't execute it correctly. And that is something that pops up every once in a while. And I know Benjamin St. Juice seems to be at the satellite, at the genesis of some of that stuff. So is he not getting it because he hasn't had the reps or they didn't get it communicated or he's not used to working with these people? Whatever it is, let's make sure that gets cleaned up. Because in the playoffs, like, Baker Mayfield's going to hit that for a touchdown like he did week one.
Right, for sure. I've told this story before too, but I think it's a fun illustration. It's a throwback to less fun times in a way that we can laugh at now. But I remember there was a play where like there was a running back check down that goes for a huge gain on Mason Foster back in the day when Mason was here. And I asked Mason during the week, I was like, what happened on that? He's like, why? And he was like, we had a green dog blitz, which a green dog is like basically if your guy stays in and blocks, then you blitz. And it was like a 3-on-2 situation. So they were going to have a free blitzer. And Mason's guy stayed in to block. The running back did not stay in a block. That was DJ Swearinger's guy. DJ blitzed anyway. Mason saw it and was like, oh, hell. And he goes and chases. And now he looks like he's slow. His recognition is bad. Mason's a linebacker, and he was a bigger linebacker. So he didn't always look the fastest when he was out there sprinting. Right. And he looks like an idiot. And everyone's yelling about how he screwed up and blah, blah, blah. And it's this huge explosive play. And he's covering for his teammate who was selfish and made a dumb play.
Dude,
and
that's so,
like
that's...
that stuff happens on defense. I would say on bad defenses a lot. Luckily, it doesn't happen a ton here, but I'm sure that happened to you on as a blocker sometimes. We're like, yeah, I look like an asshole blocking this guy because I've got a terrible angle because that wasn't my guy, but I just saw color and tried to hit it because my guy's getting blocked by the tackle because he didn't know his assignment.
You just took
I'm sure that never happened to you here because your tackle was Trent Williams. But
yeah, he's awesome. But I just made me think of it when I was in Chicago, right? We had a protection where the offensive line, the tight end, had the four down and the three linebackers. And if any nickel player were to blitz, no matter where they came from, the back would have them. And so I have this one where it's a line stunt, right? So like the defensive end loops inside the tackle. So my eyes go to the mic and then the safety blitzes. So I'm standing there, my eyes are on my responsibility, and the safety ends up getting a sack because the back doesn't see him and he runs his route. And so in the paper the next day, I was getting absolutely crucified because it's like, why didn't Logan block the safety? And it's like, that wasn't my job. You know what I mean? Like my eyes are not even over there. They're over here because I got
to
block.
You have to trust that the guy behind you is going to do his job.
Because like I said, for example, I'm like, oh, the safety's blitzing. And then I go block him and the mic blitzes and I'm the asshole now. So, and I remember I talked to a reporter about it and he's like, what happened on the blitz? And I was like, well, technically that's not my guy. And he's like, well, I'm going to write a story about that. And I'm like, for what? Like, it doesn't matter if you write a story about it because like, just because I want to look good, like it's about protecting the team and all that stuff. And I think that's the thing that these guys on defense would do too. They're not. This information's never going to come out because you don't want your buddy to look like an asshole, right? In that story, right. Like, I'm not sure you reported that. Like, you didn't write, like, a thing about how DJ Swearinger's messing stuff up or whatever. It's just, like, information that gives you context. And I think that's what this whole conversation's about, is with defense, that level of understanding is 10 times worse. It's 10 times more difficult because it is such a fluid situation. So, again, back to the original point, sometimes we don't know. Something's wrong. It's one of these people. They got to get it communicated. They got to execute it better.
That said, their final drive of the game, they get off the field very well. They run, by the way, the pain and edge personnel there and get the run stops barely. And they actually, ironically enough, the final offensive play for Dallas is a zone read where Washington calls the same exact call that Dallas calls on 4th-and-1.
Right.
Where Mariota runs for 33 yards. Luvu executes it and Chin execute it perfectly where Cleland Furl crashes, destroys the running back, causing Trey Lance to pull it. Luvu scrapes over the top. Chin gets inside the DB. Bang, they get a stop. I made a TikTok/Instagram reel about this, Logan, and put this up yesterday on the Marcus run where you have Micah Parsons crash, destroy the running back. Then the linebacker who scrapes over the top takes a terrible angle on Marcus. Marcus escapes. And the best part is the safety, Malik Hooker, as we're about to start talking about the offense anyway, Malik Hooker is celebrating because he thinks Parsons made a tackle for loss. And then he realizes when Marcus is 15 yards down the field that Marcus has the ball and he's got to go make a tackle. Very funny. It's on TikTok/Instagram at Hoffman.sports. My TikTok's just my name. If you want to go watch the All-22 and have a good chuckle with that.